Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode.
Let's go.
Today's episode, we're going to talk about the gateway. We all have a gateway, right? And we learned about it probably back in school when they talked about gateway drug. You know, this one drug leads to all the other drug, but we want to put a different spin on this today. And that is in relation to your health and fitness. Now, I am 192 days carnivore. I don't want any congratulations. I just keep on going, right? This is just the way it is. But something happened a couple of days ago that really threw me for a loop and thought it was a prime time to come on and talk about it instead of hiding, right? All my hiders out there, we like to isolate and not talk about what's going on. Well, let's talk about it. We're here to talk about it. And that was Mike and I were together with a bunch of friends and they were drinking. And the other part of carnivore that I haven't really shared is January 1st, I stopped drinking also. And it wasn't this big thing like I'm also not going to drink alcohol or any of the sober curious stuff. It was just more, I felt so good eating carnivore that there was no longer a desire or need to buffer with alcohol because that's what it is. It's a buffer. So anyway, we're with a bunch of friends. They're all drinking. And one of the moms, really sweet, she was like, do you want a refill on your water? And it was that moment. You guys know that moment, right? When everyone's ordering cheesecake and you're like, I'll just have a water. Or everyone's ordering burgers and wings and you're like, I'll just have a salad. That moment of peer pressure that we've all experienced, we've all been in. And I made a decision. I was like, yeah, I'll have a drink, right? But no tequila because I can't do tequila, vodka, keep it clean. So anyway, they made me a drink and it was fine, right? I chose it. I made the decision. Had I not been asked or pressured into it, maybe, you know, I would have made a different choice. But what happened after is really what I want to talk about. And that is the gateway. What I realized that night is that alcohol for me was the gateway to old habits. And the moment I got home, 192 day strong carnivore me was like, ooh, there's cornbread in the refrigerator. Cornbread, like of all things, cornbread. And I went and had a slice. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go have another slice, right? Because I am not a moderator. I can't moderate that stuff. And I know that about myself. And so many of you have written to me and said that you feel the same way about yourself. And so what I realized is we all have a gateway. We all have that thing that opens up the floodgate to other things that don't necessarily serve us. And while you look at that situation and maybe it was peer pressure, right? It was ultimately a decision. My gateway was alcohol. Alcohol has always lowered my inhibitions enough that I will go and eat things that are totally out of alignment with who I am. And I felt it the next day. I woke up, I had a couple of pimples on my face, literally textbook, and I felt a little bit bad about myself, but it made me want to come and talk to you guys about this. You know, what is your gateway? For some of it, it's alcohol. For some of us, it's sugar. You have one sugary thing and it opens up the floodgate. It could be not enough sleep. You know, that makes you feel real yucky the next day. It could be not getting in your workout. You're not exercising or moving your body. It could also just be stress, right? When you get so stressed out, you feel like you lose control. What is your gateway? What is that one thing that leads to other things that don't serve you? And so I'm going to bring Mike into the conversation at this point, and let's discuss this concept of having a gateway.
Yeah, I mean, it's really quite interesting. And I know that this is something a lot of people struggle with. And you can go down the list of things that open up the gate to doing the things that maybe you don't want to do or the things that you've successfully given up. And now you find yourself falling back. For many people, I think stress plays a major role in this. Once they start feeling as if they are under pressure, that is when they allow themselves the opportunity, whether it be alcohol or binge eating, you know, going back to those things that they've successfully avoided for maybe several months, possibly years. And it's a difficult situation to be in. And, you know, I think that we could go down many different roads with this because there is the first recognition that this is happening. I am doing this. But then the flip side of that is, where do I go from here? What do I do next? And, you know, we can look at your particular situation and say, yeah, you came home and we had that leftover cornbread from Father's Day and it was there. And it was like, had it not been there, you probably would not have had it. But the point is that you didn't go back to it after that. And this is the part I think that we can assess the problem all we want. We can look at all the different triggers and all the reasons why. You know, I always like to go back to what happens next. You know, does this gate open it up so far that now you're doing this for the next several days versus it just being that one moment? And a lot of that does come down to you being either a moderator or an abstainer. You know, some people do need to completely abstain because that same event we were both at, I eventually wound up having a bourbon. And I remember you asking me when we got home, hey, Mike, do you want some cornbread? And I was like, no, I don't want any cornbread. I don't need any cornbread.
Why is my wife asking me about cornbread?
And to me, it was just such an interesting question. But, you know, I think, though, it does speak to individual differences. You know, I can separate those two things out and say, hey, I'm going to have this drink. I'm going to own having this drink, even though it's not something that I also have not been doing. But it also did not open up a gateway for me. And I think that just depending upon where somebody is in their journey, I think you have to recognize that, though. And we have to ask ourselves, honestly, I mean, what is the potential trigger? And if this happens, what could it lead to? And you have to actually think through those particular scenarios, because how else are you going to deal with those scenarios when they come up again? Because they are going to come up again. And I think that this is where, if we're not prepared, we can find ourselves going off the rails quite easily.
Yeah, I think that that's so valuable, what you said about what happens next. You know, I think the two points I want to hone in on are, first, to help you, the listener, identify your gateway. You know, what is that thing that opens up the gateway to other things that don't serve you? We all have them. And then really to focus on what happens next. And you're right, Mike. I think there's still a piece of cornbread somewhere in the fridge. And I've had no desire to go back to it. And so it made it so clear to me that alcohol is my trigger. Alcohol is my gateway. And it's the reason why I've just been very quiet about, I don't really want to do that anymore. You know, I had a phase in my life, probably like most people, where I abused alcohol. I used alcohol. There are moments and things and times and events that I just wish didn't happen. Or I wish I remembered better. You know, when I think back to a lot of what happened in college, I'm like, gosh, I wish I remembered that better. And so it's like alcohol just doesn't serve me personally, right? This is no shame for anybody else. But also, in addition to making me feel tired, cloudy, getting pimples, you know, it does open up that cascade. And it probably has to do with a lot of my old conditioning and patterning that we would drink. And then we would go to the deli on campus late at night and we'd get bacon, egg, and cheeses on a hard roll. And we'd eat after we drank. You know, it's not dissimilar to a lot of people's experience, but you know, that pattern, it is a gateway for me. One thing does lead to the next. And so identifying that, it's like, I'm just going to cut off the gateway. I'm going to cut off the alcohol. And I felt really great doing that up until just this past weekend. And then in addition to the second point, what happens next, you don't go back for it the next day, right? Who I am is someone that prioritizes protein. Who I am is someone that cares so much about what I put in my body because I want to have energy, right? I don't think anymore, and a lot of you I know are the same, about how food tastes. I think about, how is this going to make me feel? And cornbread, it was delicious. You know, it was homemade. It was from this nice, amazing restaurant locally. It doesn't agree with me, you know, like as good as it tastes, it makes me feel terrible. So why are you even going to go for that? And of course, you know, the people pleaser in me was like, Mike, do you want to participate in this thing that's going to be not great for me also? You know, and of course, he's like, no, thank you. So I think for yourself, you know, as you're listening to this, what is your gateway, right? I know I've honed in on this, but I'm going to beat the dead horse until you identify yours. Is it alcohol, sugar, not enough sleep, not enough exercise? Is it stress? Is it trauma? Is it sadness? Is it being left out? Is it a lack of belonging? Is it an identity thing that maybe you're struggling with? Is it maybe you have limited decision-making abilities? And I want to go there for a second too, but then also, where do you go next? Okay, it happens. Don't beat yourself up about it. Own it. I own the heck out of it. I'm like, gosh, yeah, I drank alcohol. Then I came home and ate a couple of slices of cornbread. What do you do next with that? And I went right back to my identity of that. That is not who I am. That doesn't make me feel good. And so I'm good letting that last piece of cornbread sit in the fridge. It'll eventually get thrown out. And I just go back right to what I did. Now, I want to just go for a second into this limited decision making. I was at an event last night. It was a bunch of women. It was beautiful. It was all about breaking barriers. And one young, brave, almost college student in the audience raised her hand. She was like the youngest woman there. And she was like, hey, you know, I'm going off to college next year. What is a nutritional recommendation for me to continue to fuel myself, you know, continue to be my highest self and feel good and feel healthy and focus on my immune system? And a medical doctor was on the panel there who responded, the power of no. That's literally what she said. She was like, don't ever discount the power of no. And it hit me right in my chest because I thought back to myself, accepting the alcoholic beverage from our friends, like literally as I'm sitting there holding it, drinking it, smelling it, you know, I'm like, you also could have just said no, you know, and at the end of the day, who cares? And so this medical doctor at this event went on to say to this young going into college girl, you know, we live in such a yes society. We are so designed to be people pleasers. And really, if we just focused in on the power of no, we would feel so much better. And she related it to alcohol and drugs and partying and all the things that you can do. She was like, listen, the medical doctor shared, she was in UCLA. She was in a sorority. She was part of everything. She's like, I was at every party, but never once in my life have I drank. And I just looked at this woman in such awe, like, wow, you know, I was definitely not that strong back in college. You know, I definitely succumb a lot to peer pressure. And I think for me, it was a belongingness. You know, you want to be part to what everyone else is doing. But if we just simply believe in the power of no, it enables us to identify that gateway. And literally, like, you don't have to go through the gate, guys. You can literally walk away from it. So if it's alcohol, the power of no. If it's sugar, the power of no. If it's staying up late to binge one more Netflix episode, like, it's the power of no, just for yourself. If it's putting off your exercise to do laundry or to do the other thing in the house or to take care of everyone else, how about the power of no? Like, no to everything else right now. I am important. Or with stress, right? Stress is not the issue. It's how we deal with stress that's the issue. And if we can say, you know what? I can compartmentalize this right now. I don't have to deal with this out of control fire right now. I don't have to go there. Like, I can take 2 minutes to breathe. I can take 30 seconds to center myself. It's that power of no that enables us to circumvent gateways that lead down bad paths.
Well, let me ask you a question right now, because we are harping a lot on the psychological component of this, right? And being in that psychological state where we can say no or we're not getting triggered. But I want to go to the physiological for a moment. You had the drink, and then later you had this desire to have cornbread. And
it just sounds so dumb.
It really does.
Wait, I mean, cornbread.
It's anybody it's so else stupid. Outside of our audience who well, there's somebody probably listening. Hears that like, what's wrong with cornbread?
That's not that bad. That's like, not that bad. Okay, no. Let's just pretend that I went and binged on like 5 gallons of ice cream, right? That's the equivalent of what that would have been like for me back in the day. So yes, continue.
The point being is that there was something physiologically that also happened when you had that drink, which led to this desire. I mean, was it just a mental desire, like, I want to have cornbread? Or did you physiologically feel like you wanted to have it, like you had a craving that was hitting you?
That's a great question. Honestly, I'm going to say neither. It was like, I don't care. That's literally what came up for me. It's, you know, when I get alcohol in my body, it goes to this point of not being intentional. And I just didn't care. It was like, I don't care, right? I didn't have any cornbread for Father's Day. I ate this amazing brisket and ribs and pulled pork and everything else. And I was fine. But it was that moment of like that F it moment. Screw it. You know, I don't care. It's there and I'm going to freaking eat it.
All right. Well, I think you destroyed my point that I wanted to make.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
It's the truth.
No, well, what I want to get at, though, also is that, yes, in this, for some people, there is a physiological component as well. Like, we get triggered to have certain cravings when we have something else. And it's not a psychological issue. It literally is a physiological one. And I think it's important to bring up, because we have talked with many experts over the course of the past several months. And many will point to you reaching a state metabolically where, because you are in this really good, healthy metabolic state, you make better choices with regards to the foods that you're choosing, or you lose your desire to have certain things. And I just find it interesting that both of us had a drink at that particular event, and one of us came home and wanted to have cornbread, but me, physiologically, like, I had zero desire for it. And this is not a comparison of me versus you. I think that all of us the longer we go down on this journey and the better we are eating and the better we feel in our body, the more metabolically healthy we become, the less likely we are to have one small trigger or a little opening of that gate lead to throwing the thing wide open. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Now, I also wanted to just turn this around and look at the positive side of a gateway, because I think of a client in particular who for many years, she struggled tremendously with losing weight. She also struggled tremendously with just being consistent with her workouts. And her regimen was 2 workouts a week, or at least that's what she was shooting for. And she was never able to do it consistently. She would stay on for 3 or 4 months, leave for 6, come back for a year, leave for another 3 to 6 months, and then come back. But the time in which it finally clicked that everything came together, she lost 35 pounds was when she went from training 2 times a week to 3 times a week. And nothing changed with regards to improvements in her, or at least nothing significantly changed with regards to improvements in strength and muscle development and all that from going from 2 to 3. But what was interesting is that it did completely shift her mindset around all the other things that she was doing. So in this instance, for her, the increase in exercise led to a positive opening of that gate and led to her having better habits that she became far more consistent with. So I think we can look at this also from both sides. There are those negative things, right? Those negative gateways, but also what are your positive gateways? What are the things that when you do this, it does open up the gate to doing more positive things?
That is really good. I love that concept. And I'm glad we didn't discuss that before we got on here. So you guys can all get that fresh. That was really nice. What is your positive gateway?
I mean, I think for me, it is the workouts. I know that when I am consistent with at least 2 to 3 per week, everything tends to fall into place. Now, even though I've felt more recently that I needed to maybe scale back to 2 workouts a week, it is interesting from a psychological perspective that I can find myself quite easily going down this road of extending beyond getting 2 workouts a week, meaning missing an entire week completely, maybe even going longer than that. And I do feel that it's important for me to probably get in 3, even if I'm just adjusting maybe the intensity of 1 workout. It's just the workout is there more to just go into the gym and do something to stimulate your muscles and for me maybe to stimulate my mind. But I got to be sure that I'm not overreaching my body's ability to recover. So again, it's one of those things where probably the best thing is not to work out from the standpoint of I need to get this extra recovery time. But I also know that that could lead to me just getting really lazy with my workouts. And I don't want that to happen either.
That's good. It's a nice like intermediary in between. And I would say it's the same thing for me. It is the workouts, hands down. You know, I've gotten to a point where I started tracking my cycle, how I feel leading up, how I feel after, when I feel motivated, when I feel weak, when I feel whatever. And I used to get very down on myself before I had this beautiful little hacker's guide to myself that like, why do I feel like I don't want to do work? Why do I feel demotivated? Why do I feel sad? And, you know, fluctuations of hormones, not in a severe way, but I'm like, okay, if I could stick this out for like 1 or 2 days, I'm going to get my cycle and I'll feel fine after that. I just feel like that's so valuable to know about ourselves. And missing workouts for me, I got to get 2 in a week. When it's 3, I'm on fire, but at least 2 makes me feel good. If I'm 1 or even 0, I feel sad. I feel that yucky way where I just want to isolate and insulate and not talk to anyone. I also want to talk to you about the positives of a negative gateway, meaning I went down, I had this gateway of alcohol, led me to cornbread. I think it also helps a lot of us once we've been on a healthy track for a period of time to reinforce how well that positive track works. Meaning, once I introduced white flour, you know, there's sugar in cornbread, there's sugar in the alcohol, there was alcohol, alcohol is poison. It reinforced why I no longer have those things as part of my life. It reinforced that, yes, you get a pimple. Yes, you wake up groggy. You're not clear-headed. You have less energy. You know, it's all the things that I think so many of us would normalize all of a sudden become so clear to us to be able to say, yeah, that's not the best thing for me. And I think another thing that even popped up, which, you know, if we go back to our last podcast episode, nuts and things that are not necessarily the best for us. I had a handful of pistachios with the kids on the lacrosse field and I got a headache. I'm like, what? Pistachios give me headaches. I never would have connected that to me. That had been something that was so interspersed within my day. A couple nuts here, a couple nuts there. But all of a sudden they're gone and I have a handful. I'm like, whoa. You know, so I think for a lot of us, it's getting on that positive track, you know, however you need to do that. And then should there be something that creeps in to really self-reflect? How did that make me feel? And I think things become apparent and clear to us. So here is what we'd like you to do after listening to this episode, because we want to get you guys into action, right? All of this is great conversation. Maybe we're entertained by cornbread. I still think that's hilarious that that was the thing, but hey, it is what it is. What is your negative gateway? What is the thing that opens the door to other things for you? You know, and write it down so you can see it. I always like to say, put what you think in ink so that you can see it. Like, wow, when I get less than 5 hours of sleep a night, I mean, we encourage you to get more, but if I get less than 5 hours, I'm a wreck for the next couple of days. Know that about yourself. And then what is your positive gateway? What is the thing that makes you feel so good? Is it going for a walk? Is it getting your exercise in? Write it down. And I really do mean that. There's only going to be 3% of you, by the way, statistically, that actually go and do this. So be the 3%. Write it down so you can see it and be reminded of it. And whether you have to set alarms on your phone or reminders in your calendar, you know, go for that walk, get that exercise in, get to bed. I mean, Mike took it so far that he actually scheduled his sleep into his calendar because it's that important. And so that is our encouragement for you. You know, use our story as a springboard for you to identify these things in your life, because our core purpose, our focus is to build you up, right? And that's the purpose of listening. We hope you're entertained by the episode. We hope that you hop into our free 5-day challenge. We just had 24 women from last night's event get sent that free 5-day challenge. They're so excited about it. We want to get you in there too. We want to make you feel good. We want to help you feel better. We want to support you on your goals. And our mission here, guys, it's to build you up. Hey guys, thanks for joining us. We're trying to do our part to build people up and take the overwhelm and confusion out of exercise and nutrition so people and their families can live fuller lives.
We've got an entirely free coaching course for you over at purephysique.com. So head over and share it with your friends.
And because we do this show entirely free and without sponsors, we'd super appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review, share this podcast with friends and on social, and be sure to tag us.
We'd love to know what you discovered today and how this information impacts you. Let's go.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.